Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update on rather a grey and drizzly Wednesday evening. Coming up before 5.30, we'll be hearing the latest news as the bus strike reaches its halfway point. We'll be asking what happens next. Also tonight, we take a closer look at the plans to redevelop the former Lord Street bus station. What could that site become? Also, what does the future hold for Ramsey Shipyard? We'll hear the latest suggestions on that too. And if you love art, wine and live music, and who doesn't, then stay tuned, because we've got just the event for you and all the details coming up a little bit later. We will take a look at the weather. We know there's some disruption down at the airport at the moment. We'll bring you those details as well. If you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan first of all. Fastamai.
Further strike action by bus drivers on the island could take place next month, it's been confirmed. Industrial action is currently underway following a dispute over pay and contractual issues. Earlier today, Unite the Union confirmed its members had rejected the latest pay proposal from Bus Vanin. The developer behind proposals for a multi-purpose project on the former Lord Street bus station site says it's seeking urgent clarification after its planning application was recommended for refusal. It's your last chance to share your thoughts on how the Isle of Man should develop its legislation to tackle and prevent homelessness. A public consultation on the homelessness strategy, which was approved in Tynwald back in December 2023, closes today. And heavy fog across the Isle of Man is impacting travel on and off the island this afternoon. All of today's remaining departures from Ronald's Way are now delayed, and 5 of 7 planned arrivals. Further afield, an ex-gamekeeper who's been convicted of shooting dead a former colleague will have to spend at least 19 years behind bars. David Campbell, who's 77, has been handed a life sentence for murdering 65-year-old Brian Lowe in the Scottish Highlands in February 2024. The BBC says it's fast-tracking an investigation into the broadcasting of a racial slur during its BAFTA Film Awards coverage. There was a time delay between recording and broadcast, and the corporation says they'll look at why it wasn't cut from the programme that aired. And Amy Lou Wood will star in the next Bronte novel adaptation. She'll play Jane Eyre in a version of Charlotte Bronte's classic. There are your headlines. We'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. So the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing, and I did say it was dull. There is extensive hill fog, and further outbreaks of rain or drizzle will be here this evening as well. The low cloud will lift overnight, not that you'll see it. Fresh south to southwest winds, minimum temperatures remaining quite mild, actually. It's only going to be around 8 Celsius. Cloudy and mainly dry to start tomorrow, but then rain will arrive through the morning. That will ease later in the day, but the wind's going to be pretty strong, actually, near to gale force. Top temperatures tomorrow around 11. Just looking ahead to Friday, that risk of rain returning for a time before clearing later as colder air arrives. The wind will settle on Friday to become a fresh northwesterly with highest temperatures of around 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
So it's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update, and it is day 5 of the bus strikes on the Isle of Man. Commuters across the island continuing to face disruption. Services are operating on a reduced contingency timetable, some passengers turning to the Manx Electric Railway instead. Christian is here just now with the latest. What do we know now then, Christian?
Yeah, so what we know is talks between the Department of Infrastructure and Unite the Union took place yesterday afternoon. The union says what it describes as a revised proposal was delivered over the phone. Members have since rejected that. It says the offer was weaker than a previous offer and relied in part on one-off payments and didn't meet its demands for consolidated or pensionable pay.
Okay, Christian, would you just remind us then, what is the core issue in this dispute?
Yeah, so the disagreement centres on pay structure and contractual terms. Now, the government has previously pointed to average driver earnings of around £36,000 and the need to balance public finances. But Unite says drivers are paid at a flat hourly rate regardless of when they work, and argues that issues such as pensionable pay, parity between drivers and recognition reduction of all hours worked have not been resolved.
Do we know what's going to happen next then?
So obviously we have the current programme of industrial action running for 10 days. Unite has indicated if the dispute isn't resolved, further strikes will be on the way. And the government earlier this afternoon confirmed a further 20 dates, which bus drivers will strike on throughout March. So if the dispute isn't resolved, March could see a reduced timetable running in place. Currently, Bus Vanin is operating core routes, limited frequency, and services finishing earlier than usual.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. As you mentioned, those core routes, Bus Vanin has been updating their social media towards the end of the afternoon, which we've been sharing on our Facebook page, just about which services are actually running. And we will continue to follow the developments and keep you informed throughout. Just gone 5 past 5 then. Well, plans for a 12-storey development on the site of the former Lord Street bus station have been recommended for refusal at next week's planning committee. These proposals include a multi-screen cinema. Sean Kepi reports.
A report due to go before the planning committee on Monday says the proposals would represent a significant development on one of the more prominent sites in Douglas, which has been underutilised for decades. It says the design would not be to everyone's tastes, and it would result in a significant change to the character and openness of the street scene. The planning application received a number of comments from the public raising concerns about the development. Among the issues raised were the building being too tall, the project being out of character with the area, and a lack of affordable housing. The application from Lord Street Development SPV Limited includes the construction of 85 residential apartments. Planning policy advises 25% of properties in new developments be designated as affordable homes, but that hasn't been included in this project. Questions were also raised about parking provision. The application proposes 94 spaces, but the planning report says the project has a requirement for 318, although it does note capacity is available in car parks elsewhere in the city centre. It concludes the proposal has a number of benefits, including the provision of bus stands, a waiting room and drivers' welfare facilities, but the non-provision of affordable housing and public open space are too great a departure from planning policies to approve.
Sean Cowper reporting. Well, a developer behind these proposals says it's seeking urgent clarification after its planning application was recommended for refusal. Lord Street Development SPV Limited says it fundamentally disagrees with the reason for the refusal, stating a refusal founded on contradictory evidence risks rendering the scheme undeliverable. And you can find that statement in full on the Manx Radio website. 5 past 5 now, and Ramsey Shipyard could be the place dozens of RNLI vessels come to be serviced. It's the claim of the managing director of Ramsey Shipping Services, Kuba Szymanski. But he says first, the site's slipway needs to be modernised.
I believe that last further repairs on this were happening in 1970s. And from that, obviously, it was maintained. And it was fairly well maintained until probably well before COVID. And then from that time, the maintenance stopped. And because it is the equipment which is probably now 30, 40 years old, it is not performing up to the standards.
When you say maintenance, what does a slipway need?
Well, the slip needs new rails, for example, because the rails are steel and they are wasted.
Is that affecting the operation at
the moment? Oh, big style. We had some incidents, unfortunately, here, when we had to replace the rails. The rails diminished to something like 3 millimetres. Now they are 12 millimetres again because we put them back. But this is all sort of a knee-jerk reaction. It's not proactive maintenance. And there wasn't proactive maintenance because we were told, then don't hold your horses because there is a new project coming. There will be a lot of money put in because we are going to replace everything. So the company from across was requested, consultants, they came, they did the full...
How long ago was this?
It happened 6 months ago. And they come up with 7 different projects, telling the government and ourselves that we can go for one or whatever. The best option for us would be option 2 or option 3. We had the meetings on that as well. And everything died and nothing happens.
Why? Were you given a reason?
I haven't been given any reason, unfortunately. I'm waiting for it to happen. I love KPIs, so it's now 380 days since I'm waiting for the results of this.
I mean, presumably it's money. It's presumably...
It's a big money, unfortunately, because if you look at this, this was very good 160 years ago when we had toll ships. There's some design of those rails. They are raised rails. Now the ships are much deeper, ships are much heavier, and we are wasting 1.4 meters immediately on the draft of the ships because of the design of that.
That is Kubiš Szymanski, the managing director of Ramsey Shipping Services, talking to John Moss there. We have invited the Department of Infrastructure to comment on this. It's coming up to 10 past five. Well, an MHK says a promise to bring the reinstatement plans for the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway to May's Tynwald sitting is government dragging its heels. The Douglas South member Sarah Maltby has put forward a motion calling for the business case to be brought to April's sitting instead.
I would be encouraged if it hadn't took 9 years to get to this point and have all these different promises that have been made over the years. I put down my motion to the March Tynwald to say we would like to see the business case, the implementation plan and the fully costed report brought to April's Tynwald. That's 8 weeks away, so for me that's sufficient time to be able to bring forward a document which we've already been told has been drafted, it's ready to go and it's been seen by all the necessary people who needed to see it. So 8 weeks already feels like a very generous timescale. So disappointed to hear that the minister today is indicating that it'll likely be May's Tynwald that we see the information. I do feel like we are just delaying this decision yet again till May, and I will be speaking to that in the March Tynwald. This kind of historic landmark is really popular all around the world. You know, it's something that we should be really proud of, and the fact that we are still tinkering and just playing around the edges with things is just, it's just not good enough. By saying okay, we're ready, we'll bring it to May's Tynwald, I just think, come on, pull your finger out, let's see it in April. You know,
giddy up, in fact.
Giddy up. You know, we're ready. We're ready to see it.
That was John Moss, very proud of his giddy up there. That is the Douglas South MHK, Sarah Maltby. Well, in the House of Keys this week, Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall said work to reinstate the line up to the sea terminal would start within 12 months of Tynwald approval and construction estimated to take around 40 weeks.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, the main thing travel-wise is the heavy fog across the Isle of Man, which is impacting travel on and off on flights this afternoon. Forecasters at Ronalds Way say the coastal fog is largely affecting southern and eastern coasts, so flights at the airport obviously impacted. All today's remaining departures have now been delayed. 5 of the 7 planned arrivals have been as well. The Isle of Man Airport has posted online confirming low visibility is impacting some flights, so passengers are advised to check the latest updates directly with their airline or visit the airport website for the most up-to-date information before they travel. Looking at the steam packet, the Manx's been due in any time around now, actually, not that I can actually see out of the window, heading out for Heysham again at 7:15. Nothing else to report on the roads apart from the usual traffic lights that we're used to seeing by now. Temporary lights at the bottom of Cueg Hill, they're near the railway bridge. Also temporary lights on Cool Road near the business park. There are also temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. And in Port St Mary, four roads is closed for emergency drainage works, and that closure is in between Castletown Road and Beach Road.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 5:15 here on Update, and the Infrastructure Minister has confirmed that the new income thresholds for social housing will be introduced in autumn. Tim Crookall told the House of Keys this week that there have been delays to the new policy because the DOI had to redesign the threshold framework.
The department now anticipates that revised income thresholds will be introduced in autumn 2026 following completion of the required consultation period and subject to Tynwald approval. The department has previously advised that a review of the Public Sector Housing General Needs Allocation Policy 2019 was underway and that the proposals amendments included updated income thresholds for general needs public sector housing applicants were expected to be in place by the end of 2025. During this process, it became clear that the basis for the existing thresholds could not be reliably established, and the department therefore began a full recalibration exercise using transparent evidence-based methodology. This included exploring a link to the minimum wage to ensure that a working couple both earning the minimum wage would remain eligible for general needs public sector housing, as well as developing an indexation model to ensure thresholds remain aligned with economic conditions. To support this work, the department engaged with Treasury's Economic Advisory Division In January 2026, the division produced a comprehensive analysis report outlining threshold setting options based on the Isle of Man minimum wage, relevant living standards benchmarks and data sets that adjust automatically with inflationary measures. Draft legislative amendments required to implement the new proposed model have been prepared by the Attorney General's Chambers. These will be reviewed by the Housing Agency ahead of progressing to the Department formally for approval and subsequent consultation with local housing authorities and the wider public.
That is the DOI Minister Tim Crookall talking in the House of Keys this week about the new income thresholds for social housing, which he says will be introduced in the autumn. Just gone 5:15. Thank you to Andy. Let us know. Actually, Four Roads is open, so if you're travelling that way home, you don't need to worry. You can go that way. If there's anything else you spot when you're out and about, do let us know. 166177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Now, the president of the Isle of Man Law Society says student loans are now the single biggest barrier facing young people who want to go on to higher education. The Manx government accepted last year that the current funding system can put students from lower income families at a disadvantage. And across the UK, there have been growing concerns from graduates who worry they may never fully pay off what they owe, with high interest rates adding tens of thousands of pounds to their overall debt. Well, Chris Webb was asked by the Tynwald Youth Select Committee which he sees as the biggest challenge facing young people when gaining employment.
There are only so many firms that can take on trainees, so that is, and it's a case of, because articles are in fact a work-based thing, that I'm not saying it's a barrier, but there are only so many firms that take trainees on in a given year. Firms obviously always think to the future and are always trying to encourage talent to come through. So in terms of barriers or in terms of issues, the only real issue is one of, shall we say, availability, I would suggest. But talent will always out, because by way of example, this year, and only this year, Man Benham has 6 trainees. Normally we take 1, so we feel very fortunate to have 6 people who came, and we thought, well, we'll offer them all articles. Now, most firms will offer maybe 1, maybe 2. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute we'll be offering 6 next year, because it's a strain on the resources, because you want them to, shall we say, get the best out of their training, and you don't want them to, shall we say, be stuck in an area where they don't want to be. But obviously what we do as a firm, we rotate them every 6 months. But in terms of barriers, I'll be honest with you, the biggest barrier I see to education at the minute is the introduction of the student loan. Not because, shall we say, people shouldn't have higher education, but more from the point of view of the fact that that is potentially something that you could be labelled with for a long time once you are qualified. Now, you may or may not have heard on the radio this morning about the interest that is charged on student loans in the UK. And fortunately, at the minute, that hasn't necessarily had a ripple effect on the Isle of Man. But to me, that is one of the bigger issues.
That is the president of the Isle of Man Law Society, Chris Webb, who was giving evidence to the Tynwald Youth Select Committee this week. 5:18 now. A commissioner from the south of the island says using open public spaces across the Isle of Man is really important. Now, this is as the government has published a document designed to improve understanding and awareness of public spaces, highlighting the different types as well as how to design, use and value the shared environments. In Castletown, Tony Brown says the commissioners there have been working well to ensure Market Square is always accessible for the public to use, but he told Chanel he'd like to see more investment towards the island's heritage.
All my life, the square has been a focal point as an open space, and when we've needed it, of course, vehicles have been banned from coming into the square and the parade for that matter, so the whole centre can be closed off, and we continue to do that. So, you know, the use of our open spaces is nothing new. What I think this document endeavours to do is sort of give some sort of guidance, indication as to how maybe people who aren't thinking about that may be able to use it, to give them some sort of indication of what we can do. Using centres like this when it's appropriate is important, and is something that every area should look at. But of course, lots of open spaces aren't necessarily like the Market Square here, which is part of a highway. They can be, for example, in Laxey's case, down in the Laxey Gardens. In our case, we have Poulsen Park as well. So it's how you look at these and how you invest in them. and what do you want to use them for? And this document gives a very broad brush view right across the island of things that people could look at to see what they want to do. And I certainly believe that the Isle of Man is undervaluing, the Isle of Man government is undervaluing our heritage. We're not investing in it like the rest of the British Isles and Ireland. M&H are endeavouring to do it. What they're not getting is financial support from government to do that. And on top of that, there's actually no strategy within government in their strategy documents as to the future of our heritage. So if you look at this document and you take that into account and other factors, actually it's very disjointed. Even in that document, there's not a real strong push on our heritage, how important that is to tourism, to visitors to the island, and most importantly to our own nation, to our own people.
That's Chair of the Castletown Commissioners, Tony Brown. We have contacted the Department of Enterprise for a comment regarding more investment towards heritage sites. 20 past five. Now, the Isle of Man charity Manx Children's Art Therapy is hosting an event with all of those things involved, so art, wine and music, and there'll be a live auction and raffle to raise funds for its cause as well. It's taking place at the Food Cellar in Douglas next Thursday. Courtney McClatchy is an ambassador for the charity and has been talking to Darren Timpson.
So Manx Children's Art Therapy is a Manx registered charity. We were set up in 2019 to provide a clinical art therapy service to support children and young people and their families on the island dealing with complex emotional, physical and psychological challenges. And art therapy is a form of creative therapy that allows patients to express, process and share thoughts in a way that it might be difficult to articulate as a child. So yeah, we've got one art therapist at the Children's Centre at Walbury Farm, and we provide the service 4 days a week at the moment.
How many children are in the charity at the minute?
So the charity sees around, I think it was 18 people in the last quarter, so quite a lot, and there's quite a huge waiting list as well. So
could you, in your own words, give us a bit of a rundown of what the event is and why?
The event is going to be a art auction and wine tasting event at the Wine Cellar on Peel Road. We're going to be welcome to a drinks reception with live music, followed by a curated wine tasting with canapés, and then we'll move on to the art auction later on.
Have you done many events like this in the past, or is this the first one for the charity?
We have done events in the past, things like fashion shows, fundraising, coffee mornings. This is the first event at the Wine Cellar, so hopefully we can make it an annual event if it's a success.
And why did you decide to do an event like this?
So I think art is quite personal. Obviously everyone likes different kinds of art, and there's the connection with the art therapy as well. We were kindly donated a range of different artwork from local artists on the island, and we just thought it'd be a great opportunity to raise funds and awareness for the charity.
And how many people do you expect to be coming down for the event?
We're hoping for around 80 people. Tickets can be bought on our Facebook page, Manx Children's Art Therapy, and through Eventbrite as well.
Courtney McClatchy from Manx Children's Art Therapy there. You can find a link to the event at manxradio.com. Now, sport on Update is brought to you by The Print Shed, and here's Dave Moore. Fast to my
Beth. We begin with pool, and David Adenall says winning the IPA World Seniors title is the greatest achievement of his career. He took the crown at the weekend in Bradford. He says he still can't believe he's a world champion.
It's the over-40s, so it's not the main event, but the over-40s has still got a lot of the top 16 professionals in the event. And I had to play like, you know, four of them. On the way, I won six matches and won four matches against like a former world champions, former world number ones and trophy winners. And so it was nice to beat them all in like, you know, one tournament.
On to netball, and also at the weekend, Ashley Hall and Rachel Johnston reached personal milestones when they both reached 50 caps representing the Isle of Man. The pair are the most capped players in the island's history as a competing nation, which began in 2018. Both agree moving from the county system to international is paying off.
We're experiencing different netball, bringing what we're learning back to the local leagues. Everything's improving. We're getting so much better competition, and it's just raising all the standards, I think. Yeah,
I think our league over here is amazing, but you do tend to play the same teams every year in, year out. And going away and playing different styles, like each country has a different style and you're having to work that out on court. And then the physicality is a lot more when you play these games and it's coming back to the island, and the players who maybe aren't in the programme or are coming into the programme and then benefiting from us going out and experiencing that, and I guess the pathways as well. So yeah, definitely I think playing for the Isle of Man and playing these international competitions is just...
I think it gives the youngsters something to aim for as well, and they see everything we're doing and want to be part of it, and they work harder for it as well.
And finally, Mitch Rees has been confirmed by Milenko by Paget's racing team ahead of this year's TT. The 33-year-old New Zealander will spearhead the Yorkshire-based outfit's challenge across all classes as they continue their long-term association with Honda. Joining him in the sport bike category, which replaces Super Twin, is Jamie Coward, who will be contesting the class on the pattern which Davy Todd rode to a second-place finish last year, Beth.
Thank you very much indeed, Dave. Do you know what always fascinates me? How much these machines move around from rider to rider. And it's like, I don't know, there's a whole world that goes on there.
It is, yeah. Trying to keep up with it is pretty crazy.
Well, you're certainly somebody who does that.
You too, Beth.
Do you ride a motorbike?
I do. I've got a dirt bike and I've got a road bike.
I didn't realise that.
That's it.
Never thought about racing the mountain course
yourself? Not at my age, no. My shoulders. And my lack of talent.
No, nobody would say that. Dave, thank you very much indeed. That is pretty much all from Update this evening. As ever, you can find out all the details about tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website. Let me just tell you about some of the things coming up on Breakfast tomorrow. We will be getting, hopefully, an update on the bus strike situation as it enters day six. Also, the Information Commissioner will be discussing what's being done to stop AI being used to create explicit images. That's something that's been very much in the news recently. And it's really the start of our election build-up coverage, because over the next 12 weeks we're visiting all 12 House of Keys constituencies to hear what you think the big election issues are, and we are going to start alphabetically with Eyre and Michael. You can find the election stories again on the Manx Radio website under the election tab, and the two candidates who've declared already, all their details are on there as well. Coming up next, it's Spotlight with Howard Kane, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. Then Chris Kinley will be here at 6 with Greatest Hits. It's Ernie's Eclectic at 9, and Dave will be back with you at 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.